I truly hope you're doing well today. You know, as I come to you, my mind is to a great extent on heaven. I think it's because, no, I know it's because yesterday I took part in a celebration of life for a member of my board who passed away suddenly, younger than I am, delightful man. A guy that had a tremendous childlike hunger for the kingdom of God. When I got the news early in the morning that he had passed, I went for a long walk, and my first thoughts were of Paul's statement, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so I began to imagine my friend Tom there present with the Lord. And then my mind went to a scripture in Isaiah 51. Zion is often a metaphor for the kingdom of God, and it says they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And I had to put his name in there knowing that he entered with singing. And now there's joy and no more sorrow. And no more sighing. You know, there's an old statement that says, heaven is too sweet to not live with it in view. Let me say that again. Heaven is too sweet to not live with it in view. Every once in a while, we have these moments where we are reminded that this is not home for us. That we live in a world that's still greatly impacted by brokenness. Is there a time in our lives when we've not been more corporately aware of loss and pain, and that many, many people are hurting? Many, many people are afraid. And we know that Jesus enters the world to come and heal and to care and to show compassion. And that's exactly what we are to do. The exact same thing. We are to be representatives of Jesus, living reminders of his life and his ministry, caring for those that are hurting and that are in need, remembering those that suffer as though we suffer with them, those that are mistreated as though we ourselves are being mistreated. We are here to do our part, but there is something about doing our part that really happens best when we have heaven in view. I often don't. I think I hold this world and this life too tightly. Too many fears, too many precautions. Now, I'm not talking about wisdom here. I'm talking about the investment of my life. You know, C.S. Lewis once said this, I'm going to read, a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking. It is one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It doesn't mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. He goes on and says, if you read history, you will find that Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in it. I love this final phrase from C.S. Lewis. Aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. I think this is important for us and important for me to let the Holy Spirit help me evaluate the degree to which I am so preoccupied with what's going on here and trying to hold on tightly, if you will, to this life, that I miss thoughts of the sweet kingdom to come, and also compromise decisions because I don't have heaven in view. A story that I heard, actually a firsthand account a number of years ago, came to mind, and I remember how shocking it was to me. 25 years ago or more, I was on a board that met once a quarter in San Francisco. There were several Christian leaders there, and we would meet to deal with issues of this particular organization. And one man who was a pastor in the San Francisco area came in and talked about the fact that his mother had recently been assaulted, and his mother was in her 80s. A man came in, vandalized her home, assaulted her, and then put a knife to her throat and said, "If you say anything, I will kill you." And her words were, "You'll never scare me with heaven." I remember when he said that, I was heartbroken for the pain that she went through, but what courage, what perspective. You will not scare me with threats of heaven. I think that what God's wanting us to do is to remember that as we face the challenges of this life, we need to use wisdom. We need to live according to facts. We need to not be foolish. But we need to gain an eternal perspective. And I'm not sure for me that happens in a moment in time. I think it's something that I will grow into more and more. Now, you may be thinking of an old statement that I've heard many times, that those people that are heavenly minded are often no earthly good. Well, these are words from the theologian John Piper. He says, "I guess it's possible to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly use. My problem is I've never met one of those people. And I suspect if I met one, the problem would not be that his mind is full of the glories of heaven, but that his mind is empty and his mouth is full of platitudes. I suspect that for every professing believer who is useless in this world because of otherworldliness, there are 100 who are useful because of that otherworldliness, and 100 more who are useless because their mind is only on this world." And so, I'm asking the Lord to help me consider this old phrase, heaven is too sweet to not live with it in view. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, it reads, "See, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." Wow, that's so reminiscent of what is in the book of Revelation, clear at the end in chapters 21 and 22. We get this picture of the new heaven and the new earth and how it comes down as a holy city, prepared as a bride. And it says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And the one who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." I think there's times when we need to allow the Holy Spirit to give us prophetic imagination and get caught up in some of those thoughts as we're facing the difficulties and trials that we must address and that we must weigh into here on earth. I think living with heaven in view makes us more effective. If you go over into Revelation chapter 22, there is the scripture that talks about the river that flows and it yields fruit every month and the leaves bring healing. But then it says this, no longer will there be any curse. Wow, we are affected by curse. The curse of this coronavirus and all that it means and all that it does to impact lives. It's serious, serious business. But the scripture says the throne of God and the Lamb will be in this new city. Those that are there will see his face, and his very name will be on their foreheads. And then hear this. There will be no more light. No more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. What an amazing promise. I was thinking of the song from Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. It's a song about imagining the kingdom, and I think it's important that we do that. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us just imagine what it's like to be in the presence of God with angels singing glory around the throne and 10,000 times 10,000 angels lifting up praise to the Lamb. And the elders that have gone before throwing their crowns before him. And to some degree, even right now, a great preparation, not only for the banquet that we will all celebrate someday, but for Christ's return. When all things will be made new. I will miss my friend. I will miss his smile, his childlike enthusiasm, his friendship. But right now, he is so very much alive in a place where there are no more tears. There is no longer a curse, and where the light of God's presence shines every moment to the glory of God. So help me, pray for me. May we accept the challenge to remember that heaven is too sweet to not live with it in view. I pray God's blessings on you today. I pray that his Spirit encourages you and that he empowers you as you reach out to help others in this hurting world.